Welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast, a podcast created to hold space for authentic human conversation through the lens of the feminine. Here we will dive deep into the realms of motherhood, birth, seasons of womanhood, and so much more. I am your host, Lucy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay, welcome to the Here to Be Human podcast. And on this episode, I have the beautiful Donna with us, and we're going to talk about some juicy things, mainly around the theme of creativity, creation in the motherhood realm and what that looks like. But I'll let Donna introduce herself. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Lucy. So I'm Donna. I live in Noosa in Queensland. I have one child. He's 3 and a half. And I live here with my husband, him, and then my dog, Billy. We're away from family. Our family's all in WA. And my husband is a carpenter. I, by trade, do remedial massage. So I've done that since I was 18, 19. So that's my trade in remedial massage. And I still do it now. Just on a Saturday, I see a few clients. And then I also have a business that I've just kind of birthed and released in the last month or so, Girl at the Sea. And that's the teas and hats, the beautiful organic cotton tees and hats. And that is, that's a very different business idea and business energy, I would say. Like, my remedial massage business has been going for years, and it's been a very natural career, I suppose. Whereas when I became a mother with Vali 3.5 years ago, I remember discussing with a girlfriend that I would love to get paid without working. Like, you know, I wouldn't love to trade hours for money anymore. And that, I guess that is a very long process to, for me, it was a very long process to remove things that were stopping me from doing that. And we've also been renovating our home since before Vali was on earth. So that's almost 4 years, 4 years in June. So that naturally has taken up a lot of space for my husband and I. And we are also surfers. So we go with the winds and the tides and the swell and renovate in our spare time. And then we have Billy, and then we're mumming and dadding and all the things. So this business has been a very slow, gentle, long process for me, but it's felt very true. It's just felt very true the whole time.
Yeah, I love that so much. I'm really I've just become so obsessed with lately watching and connecting in with mothers, like stepping into their creation and like just following their bliss, whatever that looks like. And it's like I feel really silly that I haven't made these connections before, like that we are creative beings as women, like we create life. We literally, like, we every month cycle, it's like this whole life cycle, you know, possible creation and then death and then, you know, up with our menstrual cycle. And like, of course, it makes sense that we would want and should always be creating in other ways as well. Like, it's just such an extension of us. And I only recently have sort of like realized that was the gap in my own life, that I didn't have a creative outlet. And I've just been loving like just all these women, witnessing all these women popping up around the place and just really stepping into this creation portal. And usually it's alongside motherhood. I just really love, like, for us to kind of like dive into this. It's like, it's really getting like ownership again over our motherhood experience instead of it being like something that takes over us. It's like, how do we, as we were saying off before we started recording, it's like, as Amy Lou says, the mum cracks of time. How do we reclaim these moments of creativity for ourselves again to refuel us, and it can work seamlessly with motherhood. So yeah, I'd love to hear your journey and experience, I guess, of being a single kind of woman out in the world doing, expressing yourself creatively, and then how that looked when you crossed that threshold into motherhood and like reclaiming creativity, how that how that looked, what that looked like for you and your experience and your ongoing experience.
I think it's very courageous as a mother to do. And it's also, we have to be gentle with ourselves, because everyone is in a different season. And so I've been a mother for 3.5 years, and I am just birthing this now. And we have to know, whether it's human design or our charts or whatever, we have to know how we operate best. And for me, I'm a projector. I'm highly sensitive. My son is highly sensitive too. And that is a lot. And so it's taken me this long to actually find my feet. And for me, like, becoming a mother was very messy. Like, the first 9 months was very messy and very hard for me. And I think that's naturally because I'm quite an independent person, but also because I do surf. So surfers are just free spirits and they just surf whenever they want. And I did surf with Vali until I was 35 weeks, which I was so grateful for. But my birth was very big. It was a home birth, but it was just very big. Lots of maiden stuff came up for me in that. Like, one of the biggest themes probably in the birth was about not being able to do this on my own. And that went against my maidenhood, because as a maiden, I was so independent. And I really realized in my birth that I can't do this on my own, whether it's birthing a baby or whether it's mothering. And how does that look when you're a mother, especially when you don't have grandparents around? It's very different for everyone. And also, it depends on what your husband's doing, right? Is your husband full time at work? Is he home? Is he part time? Is he working from home? These are all things that we have to, like, gently look at when we're mothers and we're wanting to be somewhere else. Because I felt exactly how you did feel too at the start of my motherhood. I was like, these are incredible mothers out there doing these beautiful, amazing, creative things. And that's not me. And I knew my season would come for that. And I just had to be really gentle and mindful of myself that, like, right now you're in the depths of being a full-time mum, which was until Vali was three. I didn't have any care. That was just me and my parents coming over a couple of times a year. So I feel like so much of our creative energy is put into these little babies, whether it's breastfeeding, running the house, like, all the things. And so for many years, I actually named surfing as my creative place. So surfing was my creation. That was where I moved my creative energy. And I just focused on surfing being that thing. And I started back seeing clients through remedial massage when Vali was 15 months. And that's been ongoing, but that's only a few clients on a Saturday. And that is what works for me, because energetically anymore, I can't push myself further. Yeah, like, I really just took the pressure off and I was like, okay, I'm surfing. This is my creative. I circulate my energy in the surf when I surf, and that's my creative place. And at some point, there will come a time where maybe I want to do something else. I don't know. I don't really know. I never knew. And this creative vision came through about a year and a bit ago. So it wasn't a fast, I guess if we're thinking about the corporate world or whatever, it's like I had the business plan and then I did it and then I figured this out and I did it and I did it and blah blah blah, it's here. And I'm making $100,000 a month. Like that's not I don't think that's like mother centric. And also it's just not the way that things operate really. And so I had the idea come through and I was also extremely scared. So this creative vision pulls on a lot of my conditioning strings, whether it's like being a successful mother and a present mother, or whether it's making money, or whether it's contributing to the household and it not just being my husband's sole purpose. Like it pulls on a lot of creative blocks for me. So last year was kind of a journey of traversing those things. And the vision first came through when I was surfing and I was getting frustrated in the surf of some young guys that surf because they love to take all the waves. And I was like, if only they knew I was a mother and I had a t-shirt and they could see I'm a mum. Like, I mean, when I think back to when I was 20, I didn't give a shit about mums, but I was just this vision came through of this fiery vision of like, I want to make a t-shirt. And so I was extremely scared to even voice it to anyone. I think I may have come home and said something to my husband in passing, but not touched it for a month or two after that. Just feeling so overwhelmed with anything and everything, whether it's like, oh my God, what am I going to design? How is it going to look? Like, where am I going to find and source something that's true to my values? Is it, it's, I don't want it sweatshop. I don't want it bad quality. I don't want any of that. And so, I slowly, gently just took a little step each time and made some headway. And it didn't really build any momentum until Vali was three and Maria, our beautiful nanny, started with us. So she has Vali 3 hours twice a week. And that was the space I needed to somewhat like free up creative energy. And the first like couple of weeks or month of that, I literally just laid in bed. I just was like, I need to rest and like pressure off, like lay in bed if I want for 3 hours, do nothing. And then kind of after that, I started just feeling some momentum shift and come into the actual vision. And most of the actual headway was in January when it all kind of came together. And I birthed it in early February. So it was a long, gentle, slow, feminine process. And that's what like Girl at the Sea feels like it is anyway. She feels very feminine, very slow, very gentle, very true, very authentic. So I feel like I am giving reverence to what she is. So it's been a long journey, but it just feels right, the right timing and the right everything.
Yeah, I relate so much to everything you just said, even down to human design, as I'm also a projector. Also have family interstate. It's like it can feel a lot, and it's sometimes just it's like changing the lens that we look at how we creatively express ourselves once we're mothers. Like we no longer can even attempt to fit into like this masculine paradigm. Like, it's so humbling in a way, because you do get just sort of like burnt to the ground a little bit. And like these little people, they know how to just like, no, You can't pretend, no bullshit anymore, and you need to really lean more into like, yeah, as you say, like mother-centric business or creation. It's more like of a feminine ebb and flow, and like honoring when we can create and honoring when we can't. It's so beautiful when we do like stop trying to fit into that box of like before kids or even like the masculine, you know, and like how can we change it so it fits us as mothers with little children, but we also can feel filled like up by creatively expressing ourselves. And it's taken me like my eldest is 10 and a half, you know, like it's been a long process of me trying to like work out how to like be creative, I guess, and what even is my creative outlet? It can be anything. Like surfing is a creative outlet. It's just something that you is yours that you can kind of like I feel like also bring like all of your emotions and things that you need to process, and through the creative process, you alchemize them. I'm currently
Exactly.
repping the alchemy tea that you've created, and it's like so beautiful, and I immediately loved the frequency of your business. I think that's what I picked up on immediately, and I just love everything that you've brought into this creative journey process and the lens that you're viewing it through, and it makes me feel lit up, like, and it makes me feel inspired, like, for my own self. And it's also such like a relief when you watch other mothers be gentle with themselves and like not in this push culture. It's like cyclical and it's like more gentle and it's like yeah, like just real to us. Like we're not trying to pretend to not be mothers. Like I currently have all my kids out there and my daughter just walked into the room and like normally I'd be like, no, this has to be perfect and this has to be, I don't know, a proper podcast. But it's like this is me just owning like showing up as a mother with all my kids in the mix. So yeah. So with all of your like years and years of like body work experience, I'd love to sort of like look at motherhood and like processing things through that lens as well. Like, have you been able to lean on that insight when things have come up for you, like blocks or, you know, in your birth when a lot of maiden stuff came up and afterwards in your postpartum? Yeah, talk to me about that.
Thank you for everything too that you said. Yeah, so remedial massage and just the body in general has been such a passion my whole life. And I knew from when I was a little girl that I wanted to do something with the body. And I was also in like high level calisthenics, which is like rhythmic gymnastics, when I was a little girl. So I did high level sport in surf life saving too, high level running. Like I was quite an athlete for a long time. And so naturally, being an athlete, you have to learn about your body, and you have to learn what it's telling you and what it's saying, and you do get injuries and stuff like that. And so I think I just naturally had quite a good dialogue with it. Not all the time. I always had lessons come up, like and some big injuries that showed their head. But I think it just puts you in a good space for when you become a mother and you have things coming up. Like it's not just the body, right? It's the metaphysical, it's the emotional, it's everything together. That creates these ailments that come up. So, I've got the book. Like we got, it's so funny whenever one of us has something coming up, like, or we've got an injury, my husband and I are like, should I get the book out?
What's
And it's like
happening?
a secret language of the body book, right? So
Yeah.
it's all the kind of energetic and emotional
Yeah.
things that go alongside ailments. So,
Yeah, right up my alley.
and I think also parenthood pushes you like nothing else, right? Like
Yeah.
you can run away from a lot before you're a parent and you're like responsible for a human. And you also can rest so much more, right? So we have not pushed our bodies to the limit so much in the last 3.5 years as we did our whole life, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So there's less rest, there's less self-care, whether you're usually getting regular massages. Like I'm my husband's massage therapist. So like I was like, I don't have the energy to
Yeah.
massage them as much as you need me to. So it's like working as a team through that and obviously trying to listen to the nudges before they become massive. And I think it's just like your life lessons show up in a bigger way when you become a parent. Like
Yeah.
one of my husband's quite like natural things is to like push until he breaks, and that doesn't serve the family. And so what happens, if a husband falls apart, if he's a sole provider, if he can't work, that affects the whole family. And a mother, if she breaks or if she's pushing too hard, like she's the glue, she's the matriarch, she's like the glue of the family. What's going to happen if the mother falls apart, whether it's mental well-being or emotional or whatever it is. But yeah, like just understanding that like not everything is happy and perfect. I think that's a really important lesson for motherhood, because it's the shadows and the darkness and the really tough times that actually shape you into who you are. Like who you're supposed to be,
Yes.
So it's like, I mean, naturally for me, I've got like four planets in Scorpio, so I'm quite like a dark, emotional, like dramatic, deep, intense person as a human. So I'm not afraid to be in that darkness or that depth or those hard things and those tough things. I just know that that is like a part of my path to alchemize myself into the best person I can be.
Yeah.
So it's just not running away from those things and remembering that nothing's perfect and like life is 50% good and 50% bad. Like we have to have the bad or the tough or the hard or the, that to also feel the joy or feel the intense happiness. Like we have to have both. And I think motherhood or even like toddlerhood, when your kids get to a toddler, like they're kind of a potato for about a year and then all of a sudden you're parenting and like, oh, lots of stuff's coming up. Like this is big. Like that little, whether it's a little girl or boy in you is now in front of you as your toddler.
Yeah.
And you have to look at that stuff. Like you can't run away from that stuff. You've got to look at this stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like having some way to like creatively express can be such a beautiful way to like reflect. And it's something that, yeah, I remember like I was so shocked. Like I was like in so much shock for so many years, like when I became a mother and like wasn't me anymore and like had to re get to know myself all over again. And I didn't really, so I've never, why I think I'm so obsessed with the idea of creativity is I don't necessarily like think of myself. Sorry, I've got my toddler on my lap having boob, but also I don't know what. I don't necessarily like think of myself as a creative person, like even though I love creative things, I get, and I guess I just never had a place to go. Like, I can
I
imagine like going out surfing. It would be like a place to reflect, and you'd be like pushing yourself and challenging yourself. And Finn, what do you need, darling? I don't know, it's just something for you and a place to kind of go to. Whereas I definitely for a long time had a block around, like I was shocked by the mirror of my children mirroring back my stuff. And then I started, I started sort of a few little things here and there, like the, I guess you could call creative, like women's circles, I don't know, little things like that. And I've always noticed that the same things get mirrored back to me. And it's like feeling not good enough, like feeling like I'm a really highly sensitive person as well. And it's so easy for me to just retreat instead of like push through the block. So, but I see this similarity, like with my children reflect back perhaps like our inner children, things that came, we had to cross over, like deal with. And move through as little children or as teenagers, and it all comes up again. It's so confronting if you don't have like the proper people to hold you through it. And as you say, we have this thing where we're like hyper independent, usually, like as women, like I'm pretty independent as well. And like, I'm like, I can just do it by myself. And then it's like a lot to hold, like the physicality of motherhood plus, yeah, all of this stuff that gets reflected back. So it's taken me until recently to really realize that having a creative outlet, whatever that looks like for you, is actually so important, like because it gives you the opportunity to sorry, oh my goodness, having babies in the mix, hey, motherhood
I
and
know,
creation,
I don't know if you can hear Vali, but he's like running around the house with my dog.
this is literally like a block as well for me right now, that I'm trying to move through. Like, it's like, yeah, showing up in vulnerability, like, and not being able to control any of it, and being okay with that. But yeah, I had this pull to like, I wanted to collect stories and conversations and talk to women, and for so many reasons, there's so many reasons, but one of them that has been something that I want to work through and move through, like and embody, I guess, is just being able to feel like worthy and confident just as I am. Like, I don't have to be perfect, and I can do things and be out in the world alongside my motherhood. Like, I don't, and it can still be supportive of me as a mother. Yeah, I don't know if any of that just made sense because I've fully got a bit sidetracked with the baby, but yeah, does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And surfing did honestly save me. Like
Yeah.
it did. Like to take it all to the ocean,
Yeah.
whatever it was, whether it was the intensity of the first year, the sleep deprivation, whether it's the toddlerhood and the huge feelings, or whether it's like whatever I was feeling, I took it to the ocean and just moved it through the ocean. And that's always been my place, the ocean. And like kind of no matter what happens in the day, once I got on my board, it was better. I could move that stuff through. But I also I've had times of hermit, times of hermit. I've been, had times off social media. I've had times where I've had to like just turn off all the noise, and not see any of the mothers creating and stuff like that because of
Hey, Vali. Hey, Vali. Vali. Vali.
Could we just be a little bit more quiet, please, because I'm just on the call. Thank you. Yeah, so I also have like a mentor that I see monthly, which has changed the game for me, honestly. So I hired her when Vali was just over a year old. So her name's Bella, and she does a lot of feminine embodiment stuff. So she is a psychologist by trade, and she's doing her honors, but she also has delved really deep into the feminine and the mystery and all of that great stuff about, the feminine as the feminine.
My God, amazing.
So I've been seeing her monthly since Farley was a year. So, that's like 2 and a half years. We've had this really deep, long, slow relationship, and that is my place. Like that, whatever I was going through that month call, that's my place. That's where I bring it all. And then we also work with the archetypes and stuff like that. And it's so cool. Like I've done a bit of archetypal work, a lot of archetypal work in the past, but these teas are archetypes too. And like I didn't mean that to happen, but it did. And like so Bella and I also do a heroine's journey. So we work with an archetypal card deck, and we pull five cards for a 6 month journey. So I think we're on our fourth journey now, maybe fifth, I can't remember. But so the cards I pull, that's kind of what my journey is going to be for the next 6 months. And they're really mysterious, beautiful, dark, like feminine cards. And so it's been a real reflection practice, and I'm pushed to reflect and look and really look at the cards and what they meant and what they felt and what I did and what I learned and what I achieved in that journey. We wrap it all up at the end, and I think that's been one of like the most important things for me. To actually like I just don't think I could I would just get lost in it, I think. I would just get lost in everything if I didn't have that one space. And I just found that I was needed and was craving the space for me. I just didn't want to get that from my friendships anymore. I didn't want to put those expectations on my friendships of like, I've got something going through me. I need you right now. Like I wanted a different person for that, and that's Bella. She's my person for that, and I feel like it's really changed my friendships for my friends in that way. It's more like, sure, we can talk about things that we're moving through, but it's not the place I bring things to move it through me and to process it. Like I have a space for that. So that's been so pivotal for me and so important. And also, yeah, just rolling with where we're at, like when we need time, like off, whatever it is, social media or whatever, like social media, as we're saying, it's incredible, it's amazing. I'm so grateful. It's so amazing how we can connect to so many people like us, but we also just need to tap into when, like, I mean, as you would know, I'm a projector and you're a projector. Like, I kind of merge with the app when I get in there. Like, I'm like, whoa, like, I feel myself merging with it. And it's really important to have the boundaries, whatever they are. Like, for like 2 years of Vali's life, my boundary was like, okay, 30-minute time limit. No more. And once a day, I log on once a day, I delete my app, it's gone. That's it. Like, I just couldn't do any more than that for what I was holding.
It's a whole different like ball game, motherhood. It's like you need so many different support systems, and you need to put little things in place, to know that your energy is so much more valuable, and like you're so much more sensitive. Like, it's a lot, like opening yourself up to like grow and birth a human being, and then have them walking around outside of you. It's like So I feel like we do get way more affected by social media and, just the news and world events and things that we're bombarded with. And it's so important to know that things are different. And how can we do lots of little moments of like, moment like big moments, little moments of like caring for ourselves and tending to ourselves so that we can remain nourished and not depleted. Like, yeah, I just everything you just said then, I was like, I need all of that. And it's taken me so long to figure out what I need as well. It's like, that's why I really miss the wise women, in our in the mix. Like, I really wish there was more of that showing us the way and telling us this wisdom, like, this is how you're going to feel, this is how it's going to be, these are important things that you need to do. Have a designated person that you can go to feel held once a month and unpack what's coming up for you. Yeah, like the amount of times I've asked that of my friends to show up for me in that way, which is so unfair, and then you feel let down or you feel like, oh, like we didn't have enough time. I didn't. It's just, and then it takes away from the playfulness and the joy of friendship because you're trying to like move through
You're
stuff.
running one way in the playground, and the other person's running
Oh my
the
God, it's so hectic. You don't even, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not perfect at it. Like, I am not perfect at it, and I never have been perfect at it. And I've always struggled to claim what I need
Yeah.
because what I need is more than what I can get a lot of the time, And I just
Yeah.
have to be at peace with that. Like, so many times I will be at my limit and not either ask for what I need, whether it's walking outside for half an hour and going for a half an hour walk or whatever it is, like because you just get swept up in Adam comes home from work and then it's dinner and blah, blah, blah. And then I will get pushed to, whether it's showers or bedtime or whatever, I'll get
Yeah.
pushed and then I'll lose it. And like that, obviously, it's just a sign that I'm not full, but also I've been okay with doing that. I've been okay with showing my son rage and showing my son anger and showing my husband, like showing my family all of me, whether
Yeah.
it's the good or the bad or the ugly, like showing my son, I think, is a gift to show him all emotions, express all emotions. And yes, whether it's repair or like really letting him know it's not about him, it's what I'm moving through. I think it's so important to show them everything, right? Because when I was a little girl, I wasn't allowed to be that. And that really affected my life. And I always thought my mother's anger was about me. And I wasn't told it wasn't, So I think it's so important to really normalize that, like, we are allowed to yell, we are allowed to scream, we are allowed to express the darkest, most yuckiest things inside us. And we can show our kids that, and we can also tell them it's not about them, it's what I'm moving through.
Once again, I fully relate. I even last night, I lost it so much around bedtime. But it's like, and then this morning I was like, that's because I'm really tired at the end of the day and really sorry, but I'm holding so much and I mommy just gets so tired and it'd be really helpful if, at the end of the day when I ask you to just please brush your teeth if you could without it being a fight. Like, I don't know, I think I'm incapable as well of like, well, I'm not incapable, but I've noticed that it's worse for me, definitely if I, yeah, if I try and be like, in inverted commas, perfect, like in terms of emotions around my kids, like if I push stuff down, then at some point it will just bubble up. So it feels more authentic to me to like just be. Move through the little ups and downs through the day and talk about it with them, the same way they do, and But yeah, I've also noticed that, like, yeah, if I don't claim the space and the time that I need, I definitely at the I will it will come out in like burnout at some point, and that's also not great for anyone. And it's like so funny how it is so hard for us to claim the space that we need, like basic, just meeting basic needs sometimes. Like, why is that?
Yeah, well, we're not in the village anymore, are we? Like my like Bella, my mentor, she was raised in Jakarta, like in the village, basically. And she was never put down. Like she was held all the time. And that was a gift. But she still had stuff to move through and stuff. Like even if we had the village, our kids wouldn't be perfect, you know? They wouldn't grow up to never have to, you know, whatever, see a counselor or move through a challenge. Like that's not the aim of the game with being a parent, right? Like we are raising our kids, and our kids chose us and the lessons, and they also have their karma to move through and learn in this life too. And we can't stop that. We can't stop them from feeling pain. We can't stop them from feeling heartbreak. We can't stop them from, I don't know, being dumped or being fired. We can't stop that. Like they have to learn and do their own little earth, you know, earth trial.
Yes, Finn, I see. Oh my God, he's so disruptive right now. And it's like it's such a relief when you do just come to the conclusion like I'm a human being and I'm actually allowed to be a human being in my parenting journey. And it's not I'm not yeah gonna As long as like there is that conversation and repair and connection, like it's not a bad thing, you know? Whereas I think for so long I felt a lot of guilt around it, like just showing emotion, like crying in front of my kids, you know, like, but really what it is just showing them that I'm a human being and then like how to move through emotion and honor it and that it's okay. And not to feel shame around it. Like, we all feel the spectrum of emotion. And it's something as human beings that we're not very good at holding the full spectrum anymore. Like, everything has to be all good and happy. And, like, and if we feel dark feelings, we're then like, something's wrong with me. Instead of like moving through it and feeling it out to completion, finding the lesson or the medicine. And then you can come back to like the light and you've gone a layer deeper in your journey as human, and you've learned another lesson to help you on your way, and to just not be afraid of going there, and like knowing how to support yourself when you go through those dark times, and
Yeah, and if we suppress it, it's going to come out somewhere, you know. Like we can't suppress it, you know,
absolutely.
whether it's coming out as like a disease or, you know, ailment or whatever it is, like it's going to come out. We can't suppress it forever.
No, because then it comes out in like physical ailments, as we said like earlier, you know, with your body work like background, you can really see that, I'm sure. And like, yeah, sometimes things happen to slow us down and we're not listening otherwise, you know, to our bodies or like energetically, there might be something that we need to like, we need to slow down. And then if we ignore those signals, it's like our body will slow us down, whether that be illness or injury or,
Yeah, I've even noticed with I've never had mastitis properly. But when Bali was very little, I had a couple of lumps in my boob, and I was like, oh God, okay, I think I'm going to get mastitis in my right boob. And I noticed a pattern that it always, I think it happened twice, and both times it was on a Friday or a Saturday this happened, right? So my husband's been at work all week. I remember getting in this mindset of like, okay, yeah, I can do this. Like I can do all of the jobs and also be a mum to like a 3-month old. And I got in this kind of masculine mode of like do do do, and then I've wound up with these huge lumps in my boob, and it's just a nudge, right? It's like, and the right side is the masculine side, the left side of the body is the feminine side, and I know there's other things to do with mastitis, whether it's the mother lineage or whatever, but I just noticed this pattern that when I pushed and when I wanted to get lots of stuff done by the end of the week, I would have a lump in my boob and I'd be sitting there on a Saturday morning, like in so much pain, massaging it out, getting this lump out so that I didn't have mastitis, because I was like, I'm pretty sure it's the worst thing in the world. I've never experienced it, but I've just heard it's really hectic. So, yeah, it's like listening to the little nudges and also getting the lesson from whatever it is, like whatever that in, you know, whether it's an injury or an ailment, ache, pain, a thing that happens that is like a kind of a big, you know, thing that happens in your life, it's trying to tell you something. Like look at that and get that lesson. What is it trying to tell you? Like my ankle is the example this week from when I was surfing. And it was just a little nudge, and I'm so grateful it wasn't worse. It could have been a lot worse, but I didn't need the worst outcome. I just needed that little nudge to like just put me back on that little path that I needed to go on and to look after myself and rest and all of the things.
Listen to those little nudges for sure.
Yeah.
And then also just like, those reoccurring themes that keep coming up. It's like in it's yeah, usually trying to tell you something. I think we all have patterns that come up in our lives over and over, and it's like, why does that keep happening to me? It's like it's gonna keep presenting until you learn the lesson. I'm just gonna really quickly move Finn out of the room because he's being incredibly disruptive. One sec. So, I mean, I feel like there's just so many different threads that we've pulled out in this conversation that all come back to sort of like just tuning in more, isn't it? Tuning into like what we need. And we as women are so good at silencing our needs and pushing them away. Whether that be a regular practice that we have, a regular person that we see, a walk. I don't know. It's just I personally, I think I'm just at this point now, like I'm 10 years into motherhood, which is wild to me. Like, how do I have a 10 and a half year old? But I've really, I think my toddler has become a person as well. And it's like, I have four kids now. Whoa, like for so long it was like I still have three kids and like a little lump, and he didn't really do anything, and it didn't feel like anything had changed. And now, like, as you could see, like I can't even have a call or do anything. He's just up in my grill creating chaos. But I'm just realizing and recognizing how incredibly burnt out I am, and how I do crave having moments of like creativity where I can just express myself and be Lucy and not be like a mum. And even though I love being a mum and I want it to work seamlessly in with motherhood, but it's like it's meaningful to me to be able to come back to that anchoring in point of self and like bring whatever's coming up for me into that creative process to be able to move through it and alchemize it and keep growing, because I think so many parts of me I did put on standby being a mum and like not having community and needing to do it all because no one was out there. And I'm quite hyper independent and I'm like things a certain way, and I'm very sensitive anyway. So it's like I don't really want a lot of people necessarily in my space. It has to be the right people. But it's I've created this like I've now created a hole basically where I'm like, well, this is not sustainable. I need I need those little things in place, like how nourishing to have a mentor that you can call upon. Like I want that. I'm gonna get that. And like a lot of us don't think even about that as mothers. To have a person, like have a person that you, even if you're not, it's not like business mentorship or something. It's like someone that you can come to once a month to move through whatever's coming up for you as a mother, because a lot comes up.
Yeah, and I always knew that I didn't need someone business, you know. I was like, I need someone emotional. I need someone to hold me emotionally, you know. Yes, like as much as I wanted to make, you know, I wanted to grow a business or make money, I was like, I don't need that. I know that part of me will come when I have this other part of me held. And they say that like the maiden dies when you become a mother, but I also believe that we collect parts of that maidenhood that we want to keep when we're a mother, you know? Like we don't completely die to that life before kids. There are parts of us that we collect and bring in and then blossom that as a mother, you know? We have to, you know, return, you know, whether it's the Lucy or it's the little Donna or whatever it is, we need to collect those little parts of us and bring that into motherhood.
And I think it's so nice for our kids to see that part of ourselves. Like, there's been such like a long time of me just like pushing and then being grumpy. And then I was reflecting on how my mom used to be grumpy all the time. And I used to be like, oh, what is like, she, why is she not like more fun? And now I'm like, whoa, I'm turning into my mom. And I fully relate to why she was feeling the way she was feeling and the way, like, because if none of your basic needs are being met, you're feeling like you don't have a little like breather of just tapping back into yourself and your essence of who you are. It is like a lot. And for so long, I kind of was like, it's fine. I'll just push through. I'll push through. I'll push through. And then there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. But it's like you have kids forever and you
Motherhood's a
want to.
marathon.
It's a marathon, and you want to be present with them every step of the way because it goes so quickly, and you want to feel like nourished and joyous. And that's the epiphany that I've had. I'm like, whoa, like there's this whole conditioning that being a mother is being like burnt out and depleted. But I want to be a nourished mother, and I want to be a fun mother, and I want to be like a rested mother, and I want to
A
be
fulfilled
able to
mother.
be fulfilled. And I want to show like my kids, I was like, hey, I'm doing a podcast today. This is me like doing something for myself. You guys need to like go hang out. And I want to show them that too, that I am claiming space and time for myself as much as I then devote to them.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, business. Like we're not just talking business and career. Like if you love being at home with your children all the time and you just want to be a mother, like that is amazing too. There's both, you know?
I think it's more like having something like even just being like, I'm gonna go for a walk for half an hour and claim that for yourself. Like, it was so hard for me to claim anything for myself for so long, and I thought I couldn't do it. Like, I can't like do exercise. I can't feed myself. I can't have a shower. Like, that's what it was like for so long. I wouldn't shower because I'd be like, no. Like it'd be like 2 days. I'm like, I haven't showered yet because I was trying to meet all of everyone else's needs, and I'm feeling gross, and I'm eating like just the scraps of the kids' plates. And lately I've been like, I am exercising, even if it's like 20 minutes a day, every other day. And like they're used to now, I'll get my little Pilates app out and I'll do, you know, because I need to look after my body. I've had four babies. Like, I want to be able to feel strong and like be able to like fully live life and be with them and be full of energy. And I try and feed myself well. But it's just those little things, like of claiming those little things even. It doesn't even have to be a big endeavor like business. It can just be ensuring that like you want to just you like you're so happy and content being a stay-at-home mother, because like ultimately that's where I'm at. But it's like I also am recognizing that I've forgotten myself along the way. And I'm 10 years down the road and I'm feeling like, oh, I just kept pushing little things away that I needed and didn't claim that for myself. And I'm now really, depleted. And how important it is to make sure that you honor yourself as well in whatever way that looks like.
Yeah, you just gotta make it work, you know. Like I'm the same, like Pilates and yoga at home when Bali's throwing toys around me
Yeah,
or playing
totally.
Duplo. It's like, okay, I'm doing it. Like
Yeah, powering through. Power through,
I
babe.
dragged him around in the pram at my neighborhood for like he's only just come out of the pram like 4 months ago or something. Before that, it was like, Mum needs her morning walk and Billy needs her morning walk. She's a Kelpie. She has a lot of energy. So it's like, okay, Vali's in the pram or the
Yeah.
carrier when he was little. Drag that pram around, like around my suburb for kilometers and kilometers,
Yeah.
just so I just have to move that energy in the morning, and that's the
Yeah.
best way to do it. And so I was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's I think like all of these things is like when we talk about creativity and motherhood, it's like this energy. I feel like when I tune into the frequency, it's like just this energetic feminine frequency that we hold in our bodies, and it's just like expressing it in some way, even if it's not like a picture or artwork or a business or a traditional creative thing. Like even when I just move my body or dance or like do yoga or pull tarot cards, even like when I'm like I'm just gonna sit here for a minute and just like let this like energy move through me in whatever way it needs to be. That feels the same as when I express myself creatively in like in business or in like an artwork or and it taps me into something really deep and powerful as like a woman. And yeah, I just think it's important that we honor this energy in us, because we are like women are inherently creators, like coming back to that thread, like it's and it's something that I fully just didn't put those two and two together until recently, because and I was like I have this energy that needs to be tended to, and when I tend to her I feel lit up, I feel fulfilled, I feel energized, I feel more happy, I feel like I can be a way better mum. And I think that's just what like when I am tuning into like the Instagram world, the world of the internet, whatever, that's the frequency that I'm picking up like from these women, like from you. It's you tapping into that energetics of femininity and an awakening of something inside you that feels really good and nourishing and makes me excited, and it makes me feel inspired. And I mean, yeah, I just feel like a lot of women are on this new wave of work. We're realizing that creativity is important. It's part of us. And then how do we put it through like the lens of the feminine and into a mother-centric, mother-supported way of being, like so that we aren't pushing a boulder up a hill to achieve something. It's like it's just easeful, it's natural, it's an extension of our motherhood journey, and it just breathes more life into us.
Yeah, it's just weaving the mother creator archetype into our life. And that takes cultivating a relationship with that particular archetype, like all archetypes that we want to call into our life. Like we have to build a relationship with that and just slowly, gently learn how it moves through us. It's all different, so different for every single person, how it shows up.
So big. I feel like we've spoken about so many big things, but it all makes sense to me. So I hope it makes sense to all of you guys listening in. And I just
Somehow
love
my house is still intact.
I couldn't hear your little boy at all. He was like so quiet.
Wow.
My
Wow.
kids
Thank
on the other
you.
end.
Because he was running around the house yelling, Baba,
Oh,
Baba.
really?
That's
I could. It
his
wasn't picking up.
nickname. It must be the
Oh,
headphones.
amazing. Good
Anyway,
job.
he was amazing. And yeah, I don't know what he's doing now, but he was just running around the house with Billy's toys, throwing them everywhere, and he was having a grand old time.
Yeah. It's like whenever mum's on like away occupied with something else, it's like, yes, permission to like go and explore something I shouldn't be exploring.
Woohoo, I'm gonna pull everything
Oh, well, thank you so much, Donna, for coming on. And it was so nice to meet you in this space and
Thank
connect
you.
with you and just like unpack, start to unpack. There's so much more to unpack always. Kind of how we can show up for ourselves better in motherhood, and nourish the mother and keep evolving in our journey as mothers. And how we can use different tools, like whether it be something that we feel passionate about in business or like just little moments of care and tending to ourselves. Like, I like to think of us as like an altar, like you're tending to your altar space. So then, yeah, we've got way more to give. Our babies and our children and our family and our communities and like, oh, it's so big. It's so big. But it was really beautiful, yeah, to have this conversation with you and so amazing to like own one of your amazing teas as well. They're
Thank
so
you, honestly.
beautiful and comfortable and like the words that you print on them are so like they are, yeah, like they feel deep and meaningful.
Thank you. Thank you. That was amazing. And you're so amazing at like how you describe and wrap up and learn and pull the threads and weave them to this. It was amazing. It was awesome.
Aw, thank you. So if people would like to check out your offering of t-shirts and hats, where can they find you?
Best place is on Instagram. So my handle's donna.atthesea. And that's got everything on there. It's got the Shopify shop and all of me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you are feeling called, please like and subscribe so that we can reach more people. You can also find me over on Instagram at the Here to Be Human podcast. See you next time for more juicy conversations.